Hey super friends, my name is Neil and welcome to this episode 95 of the Get Your Comic Con podcast. We're here fortnightly-ish, or you know, twice a week as we are right now, to bring you a slice of film, TV and pop culture goodness from our studios direct to your listening device. I'm flying solo this week and currently working on plans for San Diego Comic Con because it is literally, as I am recording this, 10 days until we fly out to LA and start the trip, ready for our 100th podcast and everything that's going to be happening at San Diego Comic Con, which will all be revealed very, very soon. But before we get to that, there is work to be done. And I am going to be chatting to you this episode about a brand new movie from Paramount Pictures, which is releasing in UK cinemas on Monday, the 10th of July, 2023. And that is Mission Impossible - Dead Reckoning Part 1. Or to give it its full title, Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. The film is directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who has directed the last three of the Mission Impossible movies and will direct Dead Reckoning Part 2, which will hopefully release in cinemas in 2024. The film stars Tom Cruise as Ethan Hunt, Rebecca Ferguson as Ilsa Faust, Hayley Atwell as brand new character Grace, Pom Klementieff from Guardians of the Galaxy as Paris, Vanessa Kirby as the White Widow, Simon Pegg as Benji Dunn, Shea Whigham as Jasper Briggs, Carrie Ells as Denlinger. Why am I reading both the character names and the actor names? You really don't know who's in it. Rob Delaney, Indira Varma, Ving Rhames, Esai Morales. The list is fairly endless. The ensemble is huge. What more do you need to know? And I will keep it spoiler light with the synopsis, but Ethan Hunt, Tom Cruise, and his IMF team embark on their most dangerous mission yet, to track down a terrifying new weapon that threatens all of humanity before it falls into the wrong hands. With control of the future and the fate of the world at stake, and dark forces from Ethan's past closing in, a deadly race around the globe begins. Confronted by a mysterious, all-powerful enemy, Ethan is forced to consider that nothing can matter more than his mission, not even the lives of those he cares about most. Dun, dun, dun. Now, before I get down to my review, I want to know, are you excited to see Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 when it hits cinemas next week? Let me know. You can find me on social media at Neil Vag. That's at NEILVAWG. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and now that new one, what's it called? Threads. And if you want to find us, then we are at Get Your Comic Con on all those platforms as well. So, down to business. It really genuinely seems quite unfathomable at this point, but as Tom Cruise returns to the big screen with this, which is his seventh Mission Impossible film, the series is celebrating almost 30 years as one of Hollywood's most enduring franchises. Yes, it's true, the first Mission Impossible movie starring Tom Cruise did hit cinemas in 1996, so we are 27 years on from that film. But after the runaway success of 2018's Mission Impossible Fallout, which co-starred Henry Cavill, of course, can this franchise sustain this latest creative wave that we've seen since Christopher McQuarrie has come in as the director? As I put in my review, the lengthy title to Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 is certainly one of 2023's most assured and sturdy productions. It clocks in a whopping 163 minutes, which makes it the longest film in this franchise. That title was previously held by Fallout, which clocks in at 147 minutes. And in so many cases, quantity really doesn't always equate to quality, but I'm happy to say that with Dead Reckoning Part 1, that just simply is not the case. So it's written as well by returning franchise director Christopher McQuarrie and co-written by Eric Jenderson, who was credited as one of the producers on Band of Brothers. And Dead Reckoning is really incredibly light on its feet. So if you kind of step back for a second and take a first glance at this film, it has to set up the concept of an AI villain alongside several new human adversaries, the new ally to Ethan, played by Hayley Atwell, so the character Grace. And so it should really be incredibly dense. You know, you throw in the fact that there's almost these three decades of character development between members of the core cast. And really, Mission Impossible should be more like an impossible mission to balance. But somehow the script defies the odds and never buckles under that really immense pressure. The only way to kind of describe this is the opening sequence before the legendary theme tune is really Bond-like, and it's set on a submarine and sets up this new digital villain, all whilst posing a ton of existential questions to the audience. You know, is Dead Reckoning going to be too far-fetched? It possibly is. Are the events of the film possible in this burgeoning age of AI? It probably could happen. but there's certainly a tightrope act between the more outlandish actions of the film's characters and the potential for something similar to what we actually see in this film to play out in our own very near future. And tonally, that opening sequence feels like some of the most serious material that Mission Impossible has ever really tackled, even across 7 movies. And for a moment, I really was genuinely concerned that the film may lean a little bit too far into that serious territory and forget that although it is espionage, you know, it has those Bond-like qualities, this has always been like Bond's fun-loving American cousin. And it really felt for me for a few minutes like this was going to be a bit too serious of a film. But then once Ethan is on screen, there is a fairly kind of deadpan opening scene for Tom Cruise in this. But as soon as he's alongside Benji, so Simon Pegg's character, and Luther, played by Ving Rhames, then the film really hits its stride and finds that balance and that, I don't want to say comedy, because it's not flat-out comedy, but it finds that sense of humour that the other films have had previously, because I think you really would miss that if it was gone. And the difficulty with a film of this scale is striking the right balance between that action and also the level of exposition. So when you've got a story that's as grand as Dead Reckoning, there's so much explanation that's required, particularly when you're setting up this AI threat. You know, whilst it's a subject that arguably is really out of the headlines in 2023, it's not necessarily a concept that everyone in your audience is immediately going to be on board with or that they're going to understand. And for the most part, Macquarie and Jenderson's script carries it off without a hitch. There are a few moments, and I said in my review, I think it's kind of maybe one per act, which get bogged down in a lot of superfluous exposition. The best way to give you an example is there's a scene early in the film, and this is very spoiler-like, I would add. There's a scene very early in the film in which a group of kind of agency heads from, you know, like FBI, Homeland Security, the different various US agencies, all discuss this looming threat. And that scene is kind of crying out for a sharper edit. There's just these moments where there is lengthy dialogue that perhaps for a split second you feel like it's run on too long. But the really great thing is that these moments are few and far between in a film which really does rely heavily and should rely heavily on its action. I had seen an early reaction which suggested that the film had too much dialogue and not enough action. And so I went into it kind of concerned that I might have been bored, which seemed odd given that the trailers have so much action. But, you know, we all know that trailers can be edited incredibly well to give an impression of a film which doesn't exist when you get to the cinema and actually watch it. So I ended up walking out of the cinema after the film, wondering what film that person had watched. Dead Reckoning really does jump from scene, to set piece to set piece. It goes from the submarine to Dubai Airport and on to Rome and then to the thrilling conclusion that's on the Orient Express, which again has been glimpsed so much in trailers. And whilst those heavy dialogue moments do exist, and they are, you know, they're there in the film for everyone to see, they are really simply just connective tissue between some of the best espionage action that Hollywood has produced since, and I said this in my review, since, you know, the last Mission Impossible film. If you've seen a Mission Impossible, then you know exactly what you're going in. You know, you have your expectations. After 6 previous movies, you know the certain things that are going to crop up that you're going to see. And, you know, there's plenty of Tom Cruise running. There's always a death-defying stunt. And here it's the, you know, it's been teased on posters, teased in trailers, teased in featurettes. It's the huge motorbike jump where, you know, Tom Cruise rides the motorbike off a cliff and just glides gently back down to Earth. For a moment, I thought that might have been the very, very end of the film and that he was going to leap off the bike and the film would just cut to black in midair and that would be it. We'd be left wondering where he was to land. But that is not the case. Spoiler alert. Kind of setting your expectations aside, though, Dead Reckoning really does push the Mission Impossible franchise to the next level. What Macquarie and Cruise continue to do is construct these huge set pieces around practical stunt work, which is unparalleled in big studio features like this. I mean, so often, whether it be a good movie or a bad movie, when you're looking at big Hollywood action tentpole movies like this, in this day and age, the knee-jerk reaction is to do as little as possible in practical, save your actors, save the time, save the training, and recreate it digitally later on because it could look great, it could look amazing, you could do stuff that's not physically possible with a human actor, or the CGI could look terrible. You never know, place your bets. But really, Mission Impossible is a franchise that's built on those practical stunts and set pieces. And at 61, Tom Cruise is literally defying the aging process. Again, he's performing many of his own stunts. He's riding horses, riding motorbikes, riding trains. He is doing everything. He's driving cars backwards round the streets of Rome. And it's just such a huge benefit to the whole of the production. And I can't just focus on him. I have to also call out Hayley Atwell as Grace. She quickly finds herself at the centre of the story. No spoilers as to why that is or who that is. That's a journey that you will enjoy discovering by yourself. But given Atwell's history with Marvel, she's already proven her ability to perform in this kind of role. But Jesus, we have never seen her performing stunts to this level. And there is absolutely... if she does not get her own action franchise, be it a spin-off of this or just something that is a Hayley Atwell-led franchise, then I will riot, because she deserves for this to push her career to a whole new level. I love her in Marvel. I think she is excellent. And it just is amazing to see her in this role, playing this character and doing this work. Grace is maybe not the most original of characters, but it's Atwell that makes the role amazing, and that's a testament to her talents. Obviously, there are plenty of other returning people in this film. I love Rebecca Ferguson, watching her in Silo at the moment, and she's just outstanding in everything I've seen her in. Loved her in Reminiscence, love her in Doctor Sleep. She is just an outstanding actress doing some amazing work. And go on for being British as well. You know, she's back. Simon Pegg, Ving Rhames, they all have plenty to do, which sits within the specialist areas of their characters. There's no doubting, though, that I would have liked to have seen more of Rebecca Ferguson. Ilsa is just such a great character, and she has a very core function in this film, but I just would have liked to have seen more of her just because I love her so much. And really, her character is key to Ethan's journey and what will be part two, hopefully releasing in 2024, but we'll see what strikes and everything else will do for that. But when all is said and done, Dead Reckoning Part 1 is also one of the better examples of two-part storyline structure, I think. We're seeing it a lot. You saw it with the final Harry Potter movies, the final Twilight movies, the final Hunger Games movies, Infinity War and Endgame. Parts 1 and 2 are much more commonplace now than they were 20, 25 years ago. Across the Spider-Verse, obviously, another one. But not always do they function as well as I think they do here. I think when you look at something like Infinity War Endgame, you have an amazing cliffhanger. When you look at Spider-Verse, you have a huge cliffhanger as well. But oftentimes they are cliffhangers which say, this story isn't done yet. Here's a great moment to drop your jaw to the floor and go, how could you leave it there? Whereas what the ending of Dead Reckoning does is it completely rounds out the storyline of that of this film. It's a very satisfying conclusion to the story and the events of this film, but still sets up what Ethan and the gang need to do next. So it's less of a frustrating cliffhanger and instead a true appetite-whetting kind of setup for part two. So you will leave the cinema ready for what's next, kind of itching for what's next and ready to watch, straight away just dive into, give me what is next. But you won't walk out of there feeling like you've been shortchanged half a story and then given a 12-month wait for part two. You know, it's not like it literally cuts off and leaves you in the middle of a dire scenario. It is very... I'm trying to so hard not to spoil something right now. It's very satisfying, and I think that's a great way to do it. Give me two-part stories, which really are two parts, not two halves of a whole. This will be a lengthy story that plays out across two films with two very distinct chapters. And obviously this wouldn't be a Mission Impossible film without a really bold musical score, and I could not leave this podcast without highlighting the wonderful work of Lorne Balfe. Balfe joined the franchise with Fallout and is working on both parts 1 and 2 of Dead Reckoning. And he's fresh from working on Ghosted, Tetris, and Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves, which have been three great scores this year, and it's on absolutely top form. From that legendary theme tune all the way through to the really huge epic set pieces that he has to contend with, Balfe's score is absolutely the perfect accompaniment to enhance this film and take it to a new kind of level. And so my verdict in my 5-star review for this, my first 5-star movie review of 2023, is that Christopher McQuarrie and Tom Cruise have accepted the mission to save the summer box office. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 is a true classic Hollywood blockbuster. It's a great and very timely story with impeccably well-crafted action and a brilliant ensemble cast. Will you be going to check out Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning when it hits cinemas on July the 10th? Please get in touch and let me know. As I said before I started my review, you can find me on social media at Neil Vag, or you can find us at Get Your Comic Con. Now, things I need to talk about. Podcast number 100 is coming up. We are but... it'll be the 5th episode on from now. I keep wanting to say 5 episodes, but technically the next one after that would be 101. Anyway, this is 95. 100 is coming. It is just around the corner. And we will be recording, hopefully, the bulk of it from San Diego Comic Con. But we have double celebrations. 100th podcast and 10 years of Get Your Comic Con being a thing. Yes, July the 26th, 2013 is when the usernames, the social medias, the websites were first registered, although the podcast didn't start until later. Yes, we have been doing this for 10 whole years and 100 whole podcasts. So I would like to hear from you. Would you like to send us a birthday message? Would you like to tell us just how young you were when we started this website, as some of my friends have been doing recently? Or do you simply just want to say happy birthday? Or wish us a happy holiday to San Diego, my first time off from my day job since January of 2023. It has been a long 6 months without a holiday. Then please do get in touch. Either just drop me a DM or drop us a DM on social media, or you can actually drop an email over to podcast@getyourcomiccon.co.uk and let us know your message, because I'm going to read them out in our 100th episode when it drops, hopefully, he says, optimistically, on July the 26th, 2023. I will be on a plane for some of that day because we take off from LA on our flight back overnight on the 25th, landing on the morning of the 26th, which also happens to be my birthday, by the way. So if you want to wish me a happy birthday, feel free. But yeah, anything that stands out to you, favourite episodes, favourite interviews, favourite mess-ups, favourite thing that we have covered, please do get in touch and let us know. I will be back very, very soon with a brand new episode where I want to dive in and talk about my hopes and dreams for Superman Legacy, which is coming up in 2025, and we now know who our Lois and Clark will be with the casting announcement of David Cornswett and Rachel Brosnahan as the Superman and Lois Lane of the James Gunn written and directed film. So that's going to be our next episode, which is coming up early next week. So please do come back and tune in just then. But don't forget that My Adventures with Superman, which I reviewed on our last episode, is now available in the US. Episodes 1 and 2 have dropped on Adult Swim and will be coming to Max in the next 24 hours. So you can finally begin to dissect and devour the wonderful anime-inspired Jack Quaid starring series, which I think everyone is going to love. And if you missed that, you can check it out in our last podcast or catch our review over on our website. If you want to keep up to date with all the latest news, do not forget to head over to www.getyourcomiccon.co.uk. I have waffled enough. Thankfully, my voice has come back after a little bit of tonsillitis over the weekend. So let's hope that it stays for me to record next week's episodes. And that just leaves me with nothing left to say other than stay safe, stay well, and I will see you very soon. Bye!